The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And Happy New Year, America. Hello. What a way to start the new year. And we have this is going to be like the Super Bowl of talk radio this week. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say hello to all of our listeners across America. 116 radio stations are now broadcasting this talk show, and it is an honor every day to wake up, to put on a hot pot, a community coffee, and the Keurig, and get to working on the big stories of the day. And we have got a lot going on today. This is a major week as we look back on whatever happened during the riots of January the 6th. There's going to be a lot of bluster. There's going to be a lot of pontificating, and we're going to cut through all the BS, the crapola, and we're going to bring you the real story of what really happened on that day. And by the way, it happened live during this radio program. So Grace Baker, literally sitting down, getting ready for the show, and I'm trying to fix the microphone here, and there's a little issue with the microphone stand, so I'm jerking it around, and all of a sudden I ended up cutting my finger.
Yeah.
And we had exactly 2 minutes, and it's a gusher.
Thank goodness I knew where the Band-Aids were.
It looked like one of those American horror stories going on right here. We're running around literally 30 seconds to go. We're finding, and those of you watching on Facebook Live can see that we were able to find some gauze.
Thank goodness.
It was, wow.
That was a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
That was
there.
Insane. I'm like, how much time?
I need a Band-Aid. Don't look at me.
We're trying to stop the bleeding, and I'm like, Grace Baker, turn away. Don't look. Grace is running around trying to find a Band-Aid and gauze, and then we don't have any scissors to cut the gauze, so it's we had to use pretty much the entire thing of gauze. And then Kyle is screaming, 30 seconds! I'm not hosting this show! You better get in here! All that to say, what a way to start the show.
And the week.
Exactly, and the week. Hey, broadcasting from Liberty University Studios here in Memphis, Tennessee. So if you expect for me to respond to you, it may take a little while as I try to figure out how to type with the gauze. Look, folks, here's the big question. As over the next several days, this is not going to be about the riot at the U.S. Capitol. That's not what this is all about. This is about making sure that Donald Trump is not on the ticket in 2024. So everything you will hear from the special committee set up by Nancy Pelosi and her BFF, Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, anything you hear coming out of their mouths has nothing to do with getting to the bottom of whatever happened on January the 6th. It has everything to do, and hear me now, everything to do with making sure Donald Trump is not on the ticket in 2024. Now, the question is, will they be successful? Liz Cheney, and by the way, Liz Cheney said the quiet part out loud on the Sunday shows. She said that this is really about destroying Donald Trump. Cut number 9.
way. The committee has firsthand testimony now that he was sitting in the dining room next to the Oval Office watching the attack on television as the assault on the Capitol occurred. We know, as you know well, that the briefing room at the White House is just a mere few steps from the Oval Office. The president could have at any moment walked those very few steps into the briefing room, gone on live television, and told his supporters who were assaulting the Capitol to stop. He could have told them to stand down. He could have told them to go home. And he failed to do so. It's hard to imagine a more significant, a more serious dereliction of duty than that.
Is his failure to make that statement criminal negligence?
You know, I think that there are a number of, as the chairman said, potential criminal statutes at issue here. But I think that there's absolutely no question that it was a dereliction of duty. And I think one of the things the committee needs to look at as we're looking at a legislative purpose is whether we need enhanced penalties for that kind of dereliction of duty. But I think it's also important for the American people to understand how dangerous Donald Trump was. We know as he was sitting there in the dining room next to the Oval Office, members of his staff were pleading with him to go on television to tell people to stop. We know Leader McCarthy was pleading with him to do that. We know members of his family. We know his daughter. We have firsthand testimony that his daughter Ivanka went in at least twice to ask him to please stop this violence. Any man who would not do so, any man who would provoke a violent assault on the Capitol to stop the counting of electoral votes, any man who would watch television as police officers were being beaten, as his supporters were invading the Capitol of the United States, is clearly unfit for future office, clearly can never be anywhere near the Oval Office ever again.
Hillary Clinton said a couple of weeks ago that if he runs and wins, that could be the end of our democracy. Do you share that fear?
I do. I think it is critically important, given everything we know about the lines that he was willing to cross. He crossed lines no American president has ever crossed before.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that if Donald Trump is put back in the White House, it will be the end of democracy as we know it? Do you believe that Donald Trump bears any responsibility for what happened last year on January the 6th? Do any of you believe that? Yes or no? I want to hear from everybody on this. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts, because this is going to impact, this will impact what happens in 2024. Here's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free number. We pick up the dime on this. 844-747-8868 is our number. I've got a problem with Liz Cheney on a lot of levels here. First of all, she's agreeing with all the wrong people. If you find yourself in agreement with Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, you are on the wrong side of the issue. I don't care what the issue is. You're on the wrong side of the issue. I mean, that's a pretty look. If you're sitting down with your child, your son or your daughter, and you're explaining the facts of life, the basics of life, one of the things you ought to be telling your child is whatever the Democrats are saying, you should do the opposite. Because there's no way, ladies and gentlemen, that you can find yourself and call yourself a conservative if you are in agreement with Hillary Rodham, Mrs. Bill Clinton. So what have they been calling this? What have they been calling this on the national news? Whatever happened on January the 6th, what have they been calling it? They've been calling it insurrection, right? You've got all the people up on that special committee where there are no Republicans on the committee, none. You've got all these Democrats up there calling this an insurrection. It was an act of treason. Well, I was curious over the weekend and decided to do a little bit of research. I'm curious to know how many people have actually been charged with insurrection. How many people have been charged with treason? How many people have been charged with sedition? Now, I want to set some ground rules for the conversation here, because I've got that information, and it might be shocking for you to learn what I'm about to share with you. So here we go. If you are a person and you were in that crowd and you were beating up a member of law enforcement, you are guilty of a crime. You should be charged, you should be punished, and you should face the stiffest penalty under the law for what you did. I said that back last January as all of this was unfolding on this radio program, and I have said it consistently over the year, and I say it today. You deserve to be punished for your crime. But as we know, there are a lot of unknowns. We really don't know who was behind all of this. We have a very strong suspicion that it was the FBI. We know that the Capitol Police were told to stand down by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Why is that? Why were the Capitol Police given orders to stand down? The person who gave that order bears responsibility for what happened because they allowed this riot to occur. The police could have stopped the crowd, but they did not. As a matter of fact, we know because of video evidence that the crowd was actually allowed inside the building. Now, in my estimation, if you are allowed inside a building, if you have Capitol Police that are moving aside police barricades and they are welcoming you in, they are not attempting to stop you, that means that you are being allowed to do something by the police. Why were those people charged with a crime? And the million-dollar question, how many FBI agents were involved in the planning and the execution of whatever happened on that day? And why is it that Ashley Babbitt's killer has not been brought to justice? Why don't we know anything about that investigation? So I got a little curious. I've been hearing these people, the Democrats like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Nancy Pelosi say over and over and over again, oh, this was an insurrection. Okay, well, if it was an insurrection, that means that people would have been charged with waging the insurrection, right? I mean, that right? Insurrection is a crime. It under criminal law, U.S. Code, Title 18, insurrection is specifically addressed. So is sedition, participating in a rebellion against U.S. law and authority. You can be sent to federal prison for up to 10 years, if you are found guilty of insurrection. Now, here comes the shocking part about all of this. And this is where all of this is sitting. You want to know where all this is going, folks? We cut through the chaos and just bring it right to you. These people, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, and a lot of other establishment Republicans, by the way, they don't want Donald Trump to run for office again. And they know they can't stop him. What was it? Lindsey Graham, who is a conservative one day, a Democrat the next. You never know where that guy's going. But even Lindsey Graham says, hey, look, whatever the president wants, he's going to be able to do. If he wants to run for election, he's the guy. He's going to get the nominee. In other words, Lindsey Graham is basically throwing up his hands. There's nothing we can do. If the guy wants to run, he's going to run. What can we do? There's a new poll out by Reuters today. Donald Trump overwhelmingly the pick for Republicans, overwhelmingly. So this really is Donald Trump's decision, right? He's the guy that gets to make the pick. As a matter of fact, a very strong argument could be made that he is literally redefining what it means to be a Republican with all of these endorsements in the midterm elections. So there's nothing anyone can do to stop Donald Trump from running, except for one thing. When you go back and you read U.S. Code Title 18, Section 2383, not only can you face 10 years in federal prison for staging an insurrection, but it would also make you ineligible for public office. There's talk, rumblings last week on Capitol Hill that the committee could be recommending criminal charges against President Trump. If that happens, pay very close attention. That at that point, that tells me and that confirms that this really is a political kangaroo court. And the only purpose of this committee was to ensure that Donald Trump would not be able to run for office anymore. You say, Tom, that's crazy. That's conspiratorial. No, I don't think so. I think all the puzzle pieces are out there for us. The establishment Republicans are frustrated. They hate Donald Trump. They don't want him to be the leader of the party. They hate what he's doing to the party. How dare that man? They're sipping their little apple teenies at the country club right now. How dare that man? Who does he think he is? And you've got all the highfalutin multi-bazillionaires sitting around very angry that Trump has returned the Republican Party to the working man, the blue-collar workers, minorities. They don't like that. Keep in mind, Republican Party, the party of big business, they don't care about workers. But they did under Donald Trump. He is remaking the Republican Party, really delivering on the promise that Ronald Reagan made to make the Republican Party a big tent party. But a lot of the country club Republicans don't like that. Look, we got to take a break. I got a lot more to say about this. But do you believe Donald Trump bears some responsibility for what happened last year? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like having an empty first aid kit. It's no use. So why do you need a VPN? Well, every time you connect to an unencrypted network, whether you're at a cafe, a hotel, an airport, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. It doesn't take a lot of technical knowledge to hack somebody, just some cheap hardware. That's all you need. A smart 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why you need to consider using ExpressVPN. Create a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. So here's what I want you to do. Secure your online data right now by visiting expressvpn.com/starnes. That's expressvpn.com/starnes. You're going to get an extra 3 months free at expressvpn.com/starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Are you doing good today, America? I'm feeling so hopeful because this is going to be the year of change in America. And we just have to cut through all of the blowhards and the blustering. We got to cut through all of that and know that ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, God is in control. And I'm pretty excited about where we're going. Hey, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Tom in Oakwood, Georgia. On the line. All right, Tom, what's on your mind today?
First of all, Todd, Happy New Year. And I just wanted, you just triggered when I was listening to you talking about Liz Cheney. And really, you need to announce to America and your huge listening audience that today is the opening day of rhino season in America. Because it's all going to be driven by what happens at the primaries of the future of our country.
Oh, I like that. So it's kind of like the opening of deer season.
Very much so.
We have to go up at a stand.
Nationwide. And then I also want to share with you, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a luncheon that most people don't realize that there's 20 state new chapters of the Freedom Caucus that are being rolled out in America. And I hope it grows, and it was here in Atlanta, and I'm so excited about how that same model is going to be driven to the state level to really be the training grounds for real conservatives.
Oh, I like that, Tom. This is all about organizing, mobilizing all over America, and especially you folks in Georgia. I hate to say this, but your Republican Party in the state of Georgia, it's a mess right now. I mean, all the infighting.
It's swamped.
Tom, I nearly fell out of my chair. I was watching one of the cable channels over the, and maybe it was CNN, the most profane name. Hold on, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. I'm listening to CNN. Your lieutenant governor, who's a Republican on there, saying Donald Trump should never, ever be president of the United States again. That's your Republican lieutenant governor.
Consider the source.
He's a Republican. To my point, Tom, I'm glad you guys are organizing because Georgia is going to be a battleground. And I hear what a lot of the Republican leadership is saying there, but it's a great big mess, Tom. That's what it is. Hey, we got to run. Good call, Tom. You keep us updated. Folks, we're going to have to fight for every single seat, every single governorship. It is going to be a fight, but we can win if we stick together. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Butch Dellinger hanging out with us in West Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Butch weighing in on the Facebook live stream today. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in. A lot of people say that the president needs to run again. We need a do-over. Paul says the Democrats plan the whole dang thing. Everybody knows that. Why do the Supreme Court judges do nothing? Equal laws protection, but Dems walk all over our Constitution and they get away with it. Debbie says, Todd, if Trump becomes the nominee, we will have another Democrat president. I loved his policies, but January 6th and his tweets and his mouth will cause us to lose the independence. I'm curious if there are any independents out there. Do you agree with that assessment? Can Trump run a disciplined campaign? Can he stay on message? I will say this. Come 2024, we cannot be, the campaign message can't be that he won in 2020. We've got to, at some point, we have to move beyond that. And the president is going to have to run on his record. He's going to have to run on the fact that the country is in the toilet right now. And that he's the guy who can bring us back. He made America great again once, and he can do it again. That needs to be the message. But if we're going to go back there and relitigate the 2020 presidential election and the 2024 presidential race, I don't know if that's a winning platform. What say you? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. Want to go to North Carolina. Bill hanging out with us today. Bill, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Well, two things, actually. The first thing was your conversation with Liz Cheney. And then you made a statement that if Donald Trump is elected, we will not see our democracy as it is now. Well, I don't want to see it as it is now because it's a total mess. The country is in bankruptcy. The only reason it hasn't filed for it is they keep printing money. You know that as well as I do. But my problem, carry forward, Donald Trump, I voted for him before, and if he was our nominee, I'd vote for him again, but I don't think he should run. There's nobody else who can stand up with what he stood up to as far as being criticized, ridiculed, and made out to be a bad guy. His mouth gets him in trouble. Unfortunately, he did a hell of a good job when he was in office, but I think his age is a factor. I'm 78 years old, and my mind, I think, is sharp, but physically, I couldn't run and do the things that you have to do in that office. And that's part of the problem with Biden. Don't get off on that topic. But I just think that we need a strong individual, a true conservative. I don't care whether Republican, independent, or whatever, but they need it to be a true conservative. And somebody, when you do a budget for one bill. That's the bill you pass. You know, I've ran businesses, multi-million-dollar businesses, and when we had a crisis, we didn't go home for 6 weeks and come back and throw money at it. We sat down, discussed, and worked out a problem for a solution. This country is in disarray. There's nobody in the government that knows what they're doing right now.
Bill, no, they know what they're doing, Bill. They're taking all of us a ride.
Well, they are.
Look, there was a great movie, and it had a leftist slant to it years ago, called The American President. And the story basically was of a guy who ran a jobs center who got elected president. And he called in his local tax guy, his local accountant, to balance the budget. And it was a pretty funny segment. But the reality is that any of us could balance the federal budget. This is all President Trump needed to do. And again, spending out the wazoo during the Trump administration. It's the same with Republicans and Democrats. We need a president who is not beholden to the lobbyist on K Street, who will sit there and say, you're going to present a clean budget, not a single piece of pork. And if there is a piece of pork, I'm not going to sign it. I'm going to veto it. That's what we need, somebody with big boy pants in the Oval Office, Bill.
Well, do we have somebody in the running that could do that and stand up to that? I agree with you, but I'm not sure there's a Republican out there who can do that.
Yeah, I don't know. If there is, I don't know of that person. And again, you know, everybody's talking about Ron DeSantis. There is a very, very, you know, that he is dealing with a very serious health crisis with his wife right now. With three young kids, we need to be praying for the DeSantis family. I'm not sure that he's going to be the guy. And that may be why he came out and said, you know what, I'm going to take a pass this go around.
Yeah, I understand and agree with you 100%.
All right, Bill.
But, I mean, that's my concern.
Yeah. You and I are one of the few people in talk radio talking about the fiscal responsibility. That's what's going to crush us.
Well, you know, like I said, I've put together many a budget. When you do a budget, you do it for whatever you're doing. You set up and you adhere to it. You don't add $10,000, millions of dollars in pork to benefit your own pocket. You know, I mean, these guys that were elected, and I think a lot of them when they're elected are good people. But when they get up there, they get caught up in that corruption. And they all come out multimillionaires, and we're starving to death in the public, and they're multimillionaires laughing their way to the bank.
All it takes.
Anyway, I agree 100%.
All right, Bill. It takes for our Congress folks, they get one party invite, they get the Baptist martini, they get one of those delicious meatballs, and boom, the lobbyists have them. That's what it's all about. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Now, I want to go back to this insurrection. This is going to be a big topic on cable news and talk radio all this week. They keep calling it an insurrection. And words matter to me. That's what I do. I write books. I'm working on my next book. Got to turn in the manuscript in about a month. So words matter. And I'm working on a chapter about January the 6th. And here's something very interesting. The Washington Post did a breakdown of all the people that have been arrested. Now, keep in mind, when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were literally burning down cities, they were burning down federal buildings, no one was in jail very long. As a matter of fact, I think everybody's out by now. But a year later, a good many of the people that were involved in January 6th are still in jail. Many are being held in squalor. It's just terrible. And we've had Marjorie Taylor Greene on. We've had Louis Gohmert on talking about the conditions that these political prisoners are being held in. And that's what they are, in my estimation, political prisoners. Now, the people who beat up the cops, yeah, that's a different segment of people. They get what they deserve. But the regular Joes who were just there, they were invited in by the police. Why are those people still in jail? So they've charged more than 725 people with all sorts of crimes. And the Washington Post broke down the charges. 225 people charged with assault or resisting arrest. More than 75 charged with using a deadly or dangerous weapon against police officers. They say 140 police officers were victimized during the attack. That's unacceptable. And there are people out there, and they say, well, the police were hitting them, so they hit back. Well, you know what? Were you saying that during the Antifa and BLM riots? Because if you weren't, then you're a hypocrite. Be quiet. So they go on to say that the damage to the Capitol, $1.5 million. 165 people have pleaded guilty to a variety of federal charges, from misdemeanors to felony obstruction. So far, 70 defendants have received some kind of a sentence from a judge. Of those, 31 people ordered jailed. 18 were sentenced to home detention. Overwhelming number of the judges ordering these people in jail were appointed to the bench by Barack Hussein Obama. Just something to keep in mind. Political prisoners. Remember that phrase. In early December, Robert Palmer of Largo, Florida, received the longest prison sentence, more than 5 years in prison. He was one of the guys who used a wooden plank to beat up a police officer. They say he was on the front line of the riot. He sprayed police officers with a fire extinguisher, hurled the emptied extinguisher at the officers. Okay, fine. He gets what he deserves. But you know what nobody's been charged with? Nobody's been charged with insurrection. They could be charged. As we said, it is a federal crime, U.S. Code Title 18, Section 2383. It is a crime, up to 10 years in federal prison. Nobody to this point has been charged with insurrection. Nobody to this point has been charged with rebellion. Nobody has been charged with sedition. Nobody has been charged with treason. Why do you think that is? I mean, you turn on the TV, you listen to talk radio, you watch the cable news pundits, everybody's talking about, oh, this was an insurrection. Okay. Why hasn't anybody been charged with insurrection? I think they're waiting. And I think one person will be charged with insurrection, and that person will be Donald John Trump. That's the goal of this committee. Now, Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, says that she's got all the evidence she needs. She has firsthand knowledge that President Trump was watching all of this unfold on TV. Well, guess what? So was the rest of the nation. And if I recall correctly, it was President Trump who told his supporters out on the Washington Mall that they should be peaceful. They should protest and march peacefully. We've played the audio over and over again. So I don't believe the president bears responsibility for what happened on that day. I want to know who was behind all of this. And I don't know if we're ever going to find out that information. But we need to. I want to know why the police were told to stand down. If the police had not been told to stand down, they could have held the line. They could have. They could, as a matter of fact, they were even denied help from the Pentagon the day before. So everybody knew something was going on. How do they know that? Well, the FBI was involved. But they won't tell us. They won't tell us the extent of the involvement of the FBI. Folks, it is a big smokescreen for something much more nefarious. And I believe that ultimately it's as simple as this. They know that we, the people, love Donald Trump, love the policies, love the fact he delivered on his campaign promises. That doesn't make us a cult member. That doesn't make us some sort of a zombie. It means that we have minds. We have functioning brains. And this vast audience we have, you folks saw for the first time a Republican who actually delivered on campaign promises. And you said, I like that guy. And all of the polling data out there suggests that you folks are going to vote for Donald Trump again. So the simple answer to all of this, is it possible that perhaps somebody concocted a scheme to snare this president, to have him charged and convicted of insurrection so that he can never run for office again? Could it be as something as simple and as nefarious as that? Well, we'll have to wait and see. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Hey, our website is up, toddstarns.com. Let me say something real quick before we go to break. Marjorie Taylor Greene, permanently suspended from Twitter. Folks, you better sign up right now for my newsletter. You can do that at toddstarns.com. It is the only avenue we have to stay connected without social media. And I hope you sign up free of charge. We don't spam you. And you get stories every single day after this program that you're going to want to know about and care about. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
So Grace Baker, when I went to the, I had to go to the drugstore to get some provisions, specifically Band-Aids.
Can't imagine why.
Which I wish I had here. I didn't realize till I got home that the Band-Aids are like cartoon themed.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I have home, is it, what's the Toy Story?
Oh, yeah.
I have so Toy Story
Woody,
Band-Aids.
Buzz
yeah, I've got
Lightyear.
The, yeah, who's the cowboy?
Woody.
Yeah, I've got Woody Band-Aids.
Jesse.
Who
girl,
is that?
The cowgirl.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I mean, you've never seen Toy Story?
I think there are. Well, it's been a long time ago, but it's like
Slinky
a little boy.
Dog.
Oh, I like the Slinky Dog. Mr. Yeah. Potato Head.
Oh,
of course. He was my favorite.
Is he still Mr. Potato Head?
I like
Head?
That guy. Hashtag they, them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
know. It's. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the tubers
At
are.
At least you so. Didn't grab the My Little Pony Band-Aids.
Oh, that would, yeah, I would have taken those back. I'm like, yeah, got to get a refund here.
Yeah.
Got to get a refund. Hey, let's go to the phones. Rocco in Georgia on the line. Hey, Rocco, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Hey, listen, Donald Trump's supposed to have a press conference on January 6th. If he has any hope of getting reelected, if on that day he lays out everything he knows in a PowerPoint and video, and lays out all the FBI participation, Nancy Pelosi's dereliction of duty, lays it all out, burns all the bridges, puts all the cards on the table, that will go a long way.
I'm with you, Rocco. I like the transparency thing. And I got to tell you, I'm concerned that if he doesn't do that, he will
right.
he will turn January 6th into the midterm election issue. That's the
Todd,
concern here.
I'm not
here.
Talking about getting up there and being mealy-mouthed and
no.
kind of vague about things.
Lay it out.
He's a multimedia guy. Lay it out with video. Back up what you're saying with video.
I like
what
it.
What happened that day? Because we got thousands of hours that have never been released.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Rocco. And again, it's risky. It's a risky move. But, you know, this president, he's always been right. He's always, at the end of the day, he's always been proved right.
If you're going to win, you got to lay it out really strong and without a doubt. And he knows the truth. He knows the truth of what happened that day.
It's a good point. Rocco, got to run. Great call, and thank you for listening to WDUN, our great affiliate there. You folks in Georgia, I know it's tough, and you hate to hear this kind of stuff, but you got to get your Republican Party in order. That house is in disarray right now, your Republican Party. So we got to get it together. We're going to need every single state, everybody running with a single message in the midterm elections. And that message is to stop Joe Biden's agenda unbelievable what's going on in this country. All right, stick around. We've got Mike Huckabee, Jason Miller from Getter, going to weigh in on what happened over on Twitter over the weekend, and your calls as well. ToddStarnes.com. Don't forget, sign up for that newsletter, download the podcast, and we're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope you're doing good. This is Todd Starnes. We are live, border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. In war-torn Memphis, Tennessee. Grace Baker, did you have a good Christmas break and New Year's?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I saw the photos of Sweet Merlot, and it was on New Year's Day it was 80 degrees, and then yesterday it was like 25 degrees.
Yes, with snow. That's Memphis weather for you.
How did Merlot take the snow?
You know, she doesn't like the rain, but she doesn't mind the snow, I've discovered. So she ran around in it, and every time she would, like, look up at me, she would go, oh, there's stuff falling from the sky, and try to, like, eat the snowflakes.
So you remember, cute. I mean, it's rare that we get snow here.
Yeah.
But last year, we got, a couple of feet of snow.
That was incredible.
And that was unbelievable. And thank goodness for the Cadillac. Otherwise, none of us would have gotten to the news bunker.
Yeah, you had to pick me up every day.
Oh, it was like an igloo. And, I mean, it's bad. When there is frost on the pork butt, you know it's cold in Memphis.
Exactly.
Very cold in Memphis.
Well, yesterday was quite chilly, and I think we have another chance for snow later this week.
What? So, more yep. snow?
More snow.
Jeez, Alou. You know what?
Happy New Year.
Well, I've got a stash of Al Gore's book on global warming called An Inconvenient Truth. Uh-huh. So I use that as fire starter.
Perfect.
So, you know, just
you're set then.
Throw another log on the fireplace. So I'm checking out the news, and you know, there's always crazy stuff happening in Memphis. You know, it really is. I mean, we broke the all-time record for murders. What was it, 340 something?
Yes.
You know, people in Baltimore were complaining. We've got like twice as many people getting killed on the streets.
Exactly.
I mean, it's people don't feel safe, and so there's all sorts of chaos. So I'm always Google Memphis. And I came across a TMZ story.
Oh, no.
You know where I'm going with
this. Oh, I know exactly where.
I know. You told me, Todd, do not play this on the radio. Don't do that. This is beneath you, Todd. Well, Grace Baker, not much is beneath me. So there is a woman, and apparently the UFOs, and I did some research here, but UFOs are sort of a regular occurrence in the Mid-South.
I learn something new every day.
And I have a theory about that. But I want to. So there was a UFO spotted in Memphis, Tennessee, just a few days ago. It was December 29th, and it really freaked out a lot of people. There are these three glowing orbs, and they were zigzagging and then creating a triangle.
Oh my!
And someone got out their cell phone and they started taking video, which we have on our website, ToddStarnes.com. And we've had to clean this up, but I want you guys to listen to what happened.
What is that, y'all? We finna die. Oh, my God. What is that? Y'all, what the f*** is that? What the f*** is that?
Look at this.
What the f***?
I'm telling you, the
lady's banging. Oh, my God, y'all. What the f***? It may be some more coming because they've been coming in streaks. What the f***? Is that
maybe some mo coming aliens?
I hope not, but hey, 2022, here we go.
How do you spell fidden? Fidden, we're fidden to die.
I say like
fidden, we fidden, we fidden to die.
Finna,
they're mo off. Here's
no, fidden to die.
So, here's my theory about this on TMZ. I mean,
oh,
we
yeah.
made national news.
Time.
This is Memphis, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. So, Grace, I have a theory about all of this. I think all of these aliens are, in fact, whatever, you know, whatever coordinates they have, boom, we're at Memphis, Tennessee. Maybe we're, I don't know, back in the day during the early days of Apollo, maybe they were playing some Elvis. And, you know how,
of course,
music travels at the speed of light. And, you know, I mean, it's, so you've got all these people saying, hey, you know, these aliens, in whatever tongue they speak, and they're like, hey, we want to shake, rattle, and roll, or we want to, you know, we want some blue suede shoes. And so they come to Memphis, Tennessee. But Grace, when they look down on the hellfire landscape that the Democrats have created in Memphis, Tennessee, they're looking down and they're thinking, yeah, we're out of here.
Maybe they heard the gunshots as like a signal.
They're like, man, these people are dangerous. We don't want. So all I'm saying is that maybe the folks here in Memphis, Tennessee are doing the world a global service by scaring off the alien invaders.
Good point. Good point.
Just my thought. All right. 844-747-8868. That's our, you know, we need, where's Art Bell when you need him? 844-747-8868. Another interesting story over the weekend. I was watching one of the NFL games, and I saw Antonio Brown for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Did you guys see this video? Unbelievable. So the guy in the middle of the game just strips off his uniform. He throws the shoulder pads down on the ground, throws the uniform and the jersey into the stands, takes off his gloves and throws the gloves into the stands, and then starts running around, you know, half naked onto the field as they're still trying to play the game, and just walked off. And he's now out of a job. Do we have the, let's take a listen.
Very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign. I'll let you know when we hear something official on his status.
Thank you, Jeff.
You know, the only thing, thank you for that report, the only thing that would have made that better if he had just pulled out a Let's Go Brandon sign as he trotted off the field there. But what I found interesting about this story is that the hate and the vitriol directed at Antonio Brown. I mean, people are very angry, very upset. I can't believe this guy quit the team. What a jerk. What a sorry so-and-so. Harumph, harumph, harumph. And what's fascinating is the same people that are blasting Antonio Brown are the same people who are praising Simone Biles for leaving her team, for quitting on her team during the Olympics. Just want to point out the hypocrisy of the moment. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Doug in Illinois. Doug, I understand you want to weigh in on the smoked pork butt.
Oh, yes, sir. We know how to celebrate New Year's up in northern Illinois. A whopping 10 degrees, I smoked a pork butt and 10 pounds of chicken quarters.
So you smoked a pork butt. What was the temperature outside, Doug?
10 degrees.
Sweet mercy.
Outside, it was 255 to 270 inside the pellet grill.
Is that right? So what kind of a grill do you use?
Actually, I bought a new Cuisinart 4-in-1 pellet grill. It's like a $600 grill. Walmart had them on clearance a couple months ago for $199, and I just couldn't turn it down.
Is that right? Good for you. And how long what do you do with the pork butt? Do you have your own seasonings?
I tried something different. I put some apricot jam, some barbecue sauce, and some sweet baby Ray's mustard, and rubbed that over the pork butt, and then put some cowboy seasoning dry rub on it. And then after it cooks for 3 hours, wrap it in saran wrap and aluminum foil. But then I smother the whole thing with brown sugar. And that time I popped it in the oven for another 3 hours at 275.
Low and slow, my friend. Low and smoke. Low,
brother.
And slow. Wow.
We had chicken for dinner last night, but we're having pork butt for dinner today.
Good for you. You know, you had me at Sweet Baby Ray's. Say what you will, and I've actually judged a couple of barbecue competitions, and I'm a dry rub guy. But if I'm going for sauce, I'm going for the Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah, I just found this Sweet Baby Ray's mustard. It's a honey mustard, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like I said, can't go wrong.
All right, well,
as always, phenomenal show. Love you guys. I keep trying to get as many. Actually, I got my buddy Nathan over in Ohio listening to you guys. So trying to get as many people listening to you guys as we can.
I love it, Doug. Well, we appreciate you. And next time, give me some advance notice, and I'll make the track up to Illinois for the pork butt.
I may have to bring some down there.
All right. Hey,
we'll
I love
it. Out.
All right, Doug, appreciate the call. Be safe and warm. Jeez, hello, 10 degrees. Oh, my word. I can't even imagine. 844-747-8868. There's really not a good transition from pork butt to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So let's just rip off the Band-Aid here. Marjorie Taylor Greene now permanently suspended from Twitter. And she was permanently suspended for sharing some information that Twitter said was misinformation. It was inappropriate. And it has to do with the numbers of people who have died as a result of getting the China virus vaccine. And we're going to go through this because I'm always fascinated by these numbers. We got nailed over the weekend by Facebook because we shared information about the vaccine that they took issue with. But anyway, all Marjorie Taylor Greene was share the official CDC FDA guidelines and a graph that showed thousands and thousands of Americans have died as a result of getting the vaccine. Now, they call this the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And here's how this works, just so you're aware. They call it VAERS? I think that's how you pronounce it, but it's V-A-E-R-S, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Been around for decades. This is a government program, okay? So this is not something just made up. This is not a QAnon, whatever that is. Here's the challenge, though. The people who report, it's a self-reporting issue. So if you've had an adverse, let's say you've had the vaccine like me, I could have gone on to this report and I could have typed in, got the Moderna vaccine and got myocarditis. And that's it. And so then it would show that I'm one of those people that had some sort of an adverse reaction to the vaccine. But there's, as far as we know, we don't know if the government actually verifies this information. But the government has that information. And so Twitter is saying it's inappropriate for Marjorie Taylor Greene or anybody else in America to share the official government website known as the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. I got a couple of questions about this. And here's the big one before we have to take a break. What is the government doing with all this information? All right, I get it. Fine. They say it's all unverified. The New York Times says it's unverified raw data. What do they do with that unverified raw data? Do they contact the individuals? Do they reach out and say, okay, what can you provide proof and evidence of how this vaccine has caused you problems? We don't know what they do with that data. Here's the big question. Is it possible that the federal government actually does follow up with all of this and the federal government does, in fact, know exactly how many people have suffered some sort of a reaction, have suffered some sort of an adverse event? And is it possible that more people have died from the China virus vaccine than all of the other vaccines in recent modern American history? That's what the numbers show. The government knows those numbers, but they're not sharing that information with you. And the mainstream media is not honest enough to actually tell you that information or go after the government officials who are not sharing that information. They have that information and they don't want to share it with us. And then they try to dismiss an official government website to try and discredit Marjorie Taylor Greene. That is not right. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
got a question for you. This is for all you single men out there. And I guess ladies. Oh, we've got some, I don't know. We've got, I think we, believe it or not, we actually have conservative lesbians that listen to this radio program. A couple of them are truck drivers. They used to call in on a regular basis. Nice ladies. They love Chick-fil-A. That was the great irony of it all. They were every time the LGBT crowd goes after Chick-fil-A, I get the call from the lesbian truck driver from San Antonio. Very nice lady. And she's a faithful listener of the program. So anyway, here's the question. Grace, I'm just digging a hole. Just digging
sounds
a
like
hole.
It. Lots this, of trigger words.
Yeah. So AOC, Sandy Cortez, Grace.
Oh, yeah.
So she's just a few years older than you are.
Yeah.
She's not that much older than you are.
Nope.
And she is very upset at people who are criticizing her. You know, AOC has been one of the, she's been going after Ron DeSantis and criticizing Florida and the fact that it's a free state. People don't have to wear the masks. They don't have to wear the face burkas.
What a world.
It's a great life down there. Meanwhile, in New York City, honest to goodness, and we're not making this up, folks, school children have to eat outside. It's 30 degrees. They have to eat outside. They can't eat inside the cafeteria. So they have to sit outside on the cold, frozen concrete to eat their bologna sandwich.
Ridiculous.
So AOC is down in Florida.
Of course she is.
For a little R&R. She was seen cavorting at a drag queen bar. Do they call them? Is it a drag bar or is it a drag queen bar?
Something like that. I wouldn't know, Todd.
It's a very confusing lifestyle for me. I'm not sure I can, because they're not transgender, but they do prefer to be called the female pronouns. But they're
it's
not
very confusing.
These are men who literally dress up as women. You know, the big burly guys. They're 6'5", 6'2", 6'7", in the stiletto heels.
It's like their alter ego.
They're very limber. And some of them, you know, I mean, they're...
Some of them sing.
They sing. They wear the makeup. And anyway, it's a drag bar. And so there she is being photographed around all these people. Must be hundreds of people there. And the drag queens are singing and she's dancing, frolicking about. No face mask on. She's not social distancing.
Of course she's not.
No. But there was another photo. She was also photographed with her boyfriend. And she was drinking a martini, and the boyfriend was wearing nasty, like, I don't know, sandals?
Birkenstocks?
Yeah, and they were talking about, I guess he had some crusty feet.
Ew,
there's
some
really no way.
Toenails.
Yeah, it was just, he had very unattractive, he needs to see a podiatrist.
Maybe he needs to go get a pedicure.
And he needs to see a podiatrist. It was not a good look. So now AOC is saying Republicans are just mad at me because they can't date me. And they're projecting their sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet. You creepy weirdos. That's what she said. You creepy weirdos.
You just keep thinking that, honey.
Really? I mean, really?
Let her think it.
You know, Congressman Matt Gaetz told me on the radio program once he would date her. He said, yeah, I'd take her out. That's what he said. Congressman Matt Gaetz. I don't know. Do you find Republicans, would you go out with AOC? 844-747-8868. Grace is throwing up. Sorry about that. Get a bucket. Somebody get Grace a bucket. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show. That's me and you. Oh, here's the best part. And on a star-spangled night, my love.
My love, come to me. You can rest your head on my shoulder.
You don't know this song?
Nope.
Grace, what are they teaching you guys in college?
Not theme songs to old shows.
This is America right here.
I will defend your right to try.
Here we go now. Oh, this is the best part. Blue, who, who. Oh, that's the wrong lyrics. But I love that song. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. You know, before we go to Jason Miller, I got to go to Levi in Indiana, who is wants to weigh in on whether or not Republicans are just dealing with sexual, I don't know, issues and venting on her boyfriend's feet. Levi, what say you, sir?
I am actually an eligible bachelor, just so you know. But I would not touch AOC with a 10-foot pole.
Wow. Really?
No. She's way too far out in left field for me.
Okay. So you got to have a conservative gal.
Yes.
Or at least...
I've been looking for quite a while for someone.
Oh, is that right?
I've not had any luck.
You see, Levi, we have been told that we should really do like a conservative dating segment, kind of like, you know, the dating game back in the day, and we might be able to, you know, match people up.
Yeah.
Kind of like conservative mingle or something. I don't know. All right. Well, Levi, we appreciate the call, and Levi from Indiana says, yeah, that's a big no. But I, honest to goodness, I remember Congressman Matt Gaetz saying on the program that he would love to date AOC. He'd love to take her out. So there you go. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Jason Miller. Jason, there really was no good segue there. My apologies. We just kind of, you know, it is what it is. Live radio.
Exactly. No, the one funny thing with AOC, though, she was sipping, she had a martini or whatever she had down in South Beach there, but the gentleman who was sitting at the table with her, the Opie-looking gentleman with the beard, has a little bit of resemblance to Kalen Dorr from the Getter team, and so we had some fun with that one, saying, Kalen, was that you sitting there with AOC in South Beach? So it did give a little bit of
Out
of that.
Wow. Jason Miller, ladies and gentlemen, from Getter.com. And Jason, just over the weekend, I know we picked up about 5,000 or 6,000 new followers. There's just been a mass exodus from Twitter over the weekend after that horrible story with MTG.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say really a lot of the momentum even started at the end of last week when Dr. Robert Malone, who of course was one of the mRNA vaccine developers, who's now been a pretty vocal opponent of some of the forced vaccine mandates, he was permanently kicked off of Twitter. And so that led to him joining Joe Rogan on the show. And then over the weekend, of course, then MTG gets shut down by Twitter. We also saw even Grabian, even Tom Elliott from Grabian, was kicked off of, or at least temporarily put in digital jail for putting a clip of Congressman Andy Biggs talking about mandates. So Twitter just seems to be going completely crazy over the weekend. Then, of course, we get the big news that Joe Rogan has decided to join Getter, and we had 171,000 new user signups yesterday. We're up over 75,000, approaching 100,000 already on today. A lot of people are exiting Twitter and saying, we're tired of the political discrimination.
And the fascinating thing here, and for people to understand, because we're on Getter, and folks, just look for my check mark there, the red check mark. At Todd Starnes is my handle. Jason, the thing about Getter, it's not like a tunnel of just conservative voices. We're getting a lot of liberals, a lot of other people weighing in, and that's the whole point. It is a place where people can go no matter their political persuasions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, our principle here is if you support free speech and you oppose cancel culture, then we want you on Getter. And right now, a lot of the passion in the free speech movement is in the center right space, as we see people like Dr. Malone or MTG being kicked off of various platforms. But the pendulum's going to swing back. And we've seen even recently where some of the big tech platforms have criticized, whether it be a Nicki Minaj or a Rihanna or Dave Chappelle. They're not going to stop just with that. That's a big fallacy, Todd. I'm glad you highlight that it's not just going to stop with one ideology or the other. Quite frankly, that's why a lot of people are even just looking and saying, you know what? I might not be someone who's getting sentenced to digital jail, but I just don't even want to be a part of a platform that does have that.
No, exactly. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Personally, we've had a YouTube channel for years, and they're always blocking our stuff. And it was the strangest thing. Just the numbers didn't add up. You know, we've got a pretty massive audience. And so we joined Rumble, finally. We were late to that game last week, and we've got over a 250,000, you know, viewers just right out of the gate. So I think there is something to this effort by big tech and by these social media platforms to squelch conservative content.
Yeah. No, and it's, again, you know, President Trump, I think, said it best when he said, if they're willing to do this to me, they're not going to think twice to do it to you. And what we're seeing is that now the big tech platforms, particularly under the watchful eye of new Twitter CEO Agrawal, they're going all in. They're completely unencumbered. There are no more guardrails that make them think, well, you know, do we really want to lose this customer base or that customer base? This is now about world framing, where they believe in free speech as long as, well, you agree with them.
Are you starting to see Getter making an impact? I mean, you're getting the numbers of people coming over, but is it taking a while for this to catch on? Or, you know, because I know, like, people like you and me, we still use both platforms, but are you starting to see an uptick now in Getter traffic?
Absolutely. And so we, you know, our daily active user amount is usually right around the 300,000 range, sometimes as much as 400,000, as far as the people that are actually on the platform and taking action on a given day, which is a pretty good number, and that's continuing to grow. A couple of the additional features we're adding shortly, we'll have it probably in about 2 weeks where you post on Getter and then it'll appear on Twitter. So you only have to go to post on one to have it show up on the other. And, you know, one of the things that I've always said from the beginning is, look, I'm never going to go tell someone to quit another platform. Either people are going to make that decision on their own. They enjoy from a user experience, from a customer experience, they're going to enjoy Getter. And I think we're getting it to the point where a lot of people say, you know what, this is a community. This is home. I like it here. I can have freedom of speech, and it's not going to be the kind of negative cesspool that Twitter is. People are going to come to that on their own. I think if we went and started saying you can only use this or only use that or give up other things, that's just the wrong message. And look, if even though Twitter and some of these other platforms have been around for well over a decade, we're always going to be held in comparison to them, even if we're only a few months old, and we welcome that challenge.
You know, going back to Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, the great irony here is she was simply sharing data from official government websites, the FDA and the CDC, and she got whacked. So this is really about controlling a narrative and a message when it comes to this pandemic.
Yeah, and they're going all in. I mean, this is really at the point. And as we saw, Todd, over the weekend, I mean, how nuts is this? You have Anthony Fauci. Again, Anthony Fauci goes on TV and says, well, we might be tallying some of the COVID numbers wrong because you might have people who go to the hospital for other things than, oh, they happen to be positive for COVID. So they have a broken leg, but COVID, they go down as a COVID. So Anthony Fauci is now trying to explain away some of the COVID hospitalizations or even COVID deaths, which I thought that was what he didn't want to have happen this last year. So he's now trying to do that. But then you also have Scott Gottlieb, who, former FDA commissioner, who is then he's going on and saying that masks are worthless, that this is an airborne disease. Cloth masks are not going to do anything. But still, if you go on Amtrak or if you go on a plane, you better have that. Otherwise, you're going to have some Karen start yelling at you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's take a listen to that. Cut number 8, please.
Cloth masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron. It was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
So it's not just Gottlieb. We've got CNN now saying that the cloth masks don't work. You're wondering, okay, fine. I mean, if you're going to ban MTG, you got to ban all these other people for sharing the fake news.
Well, exactly, and that's the whole thing with MTG, or even take the Tom Elliott from Grabian, which Grabian is essentially a clip service. They basically pull clips. So if you're if you want to get, you know, pull different news sources or things like that, all he did was simply post, here's Congressman Andy Biggs talking about some of the vaccine effectiveness or speaking out against mandates, and is a clipping service, a news outlet. He got sentenced to digital jail. So these guys are all over the map. we've known this for a long time. We've been saying it for a long time. I just don't understand how people can have any confidence in their government when we continue to push for mandates and some of this really strident behavior when even our experts are now saying, yeah, actually, we kind of had it wrong.
All right, Jason, we're going to leave it there. And again, Getter.com, folks, is the website. Sign up for it. You're going to love this. And Jason, we really appreciate the fact that you guys share our stories with the Getter audience. And that's been a great benefit to us. And it's fun meeting a lot of new Americans over on that platform.
Todd, it's so great to have you on Getter. It's so great to have people go to the Apple Store, go to the Google Play Store. If you're not on Getter, if you're not following Todd, at least jump on and follow Joe Rogan and then follow Todd. It's a great experience. And I actually wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm glad to open up my Getter app and see what people are talking about. Whereas, again, with Twitter or Facebook, either they're boring or what's this negativity going to bring? So Getter is better, Todd.
I love it. Getter is better. That ought to be like a bumper sticker or something. That'd be pretty cool. All right. We're going to leave it there. Jason, God bless and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Jason Miller, the founder of Getter.com. That's Getter.com. It is a great, great platform. Also, I mentioned during the interview that we had signed up for Rumble, and that thing has exploded. Again, we are verified, so I think there's a green check mark. I'm getting all the colors confused. But Rumble.com is where all of our videos exist, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Sign up. It's a great service, and like I said, almost 250,000 people have already seen or downloaded our videos there. So just a huge thank you as we continue to grow the radio program. You heard Doug from Illinois. He said, Todd, I told a friend in Ohio about the show. That's how we're going to grow every single day. Your local radio station may not carry this program, but that's okay because we have thousands of people that listen to us on the live stream. You say, Todd, how can I get that? Very simple. Go to kwamradio.com. That's the radio station I own in Memphis, Tennessee. kwamradio.com. You can listen to it there. You can also download the free KWAM app. And when you do that, you're going to be able to listen to conservative talk radio 24 hours a day with our good friends Armstrong and Getty, Lars Larson, Larry Elder, Sebastian Gorka. It's a great lineup, and it's free of charge to the listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's the telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Do I love my Patriot Mobile telephone? Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Great to have you with us, starting out a new year. By the way, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They sponsor our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I love these guys. They are the real deal, based in Dallas, Texas. And Patriot Mobile, they provide funding to a lot of organizations that we care about, that fight for causes we care about. And I want you to consider making the big switch. It's a brand new year. You got to check them out. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. They've got a plan to fit any budget, folks, no matter how big, no matter how small. And by the way, if you are a veteran or first responder, they're going to give you an additional discount. It is a great opportunity. And if you use my name, promo code Todd, they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. No, I don't know what the gift is, but it's going to be good. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Got to check those guys out. So Grace Baker. Every year at Lake Superior State University, they've been doing this since 1976. They release the list of banished words and phrases.
Oh, no.
So these are like words and phrases that we have used and overused during 2021.
I bet this is quite the list.
It's quite the list, but I'm going to go through. So every year, if you listen to a radio station that carries my daily commentary, you know that every year I take the 10 banished words and I write a commentary using all 10 of the words.
Oh, that's funny.
So I'm going to read my commentary. You got to tell me which of the words are the banished words, okay? All right. It's time to do a deep dive into the annual list of banished words and phrases, a New Year's tradition at Lake Superior State University. And there's no shortage in the supply chain of overused phrases in 2021. At the end of the day, it's become commonplace in the American vernacular to circle back to familiar words and phrases. Like telling someone that you are asking for a friend when, in fact, you are asking for yourself. Have you ever done that, Grace? You know, I'm just asking for yes. a friend. All right, you know that. Or what about the time you gave that great business presentation on Zoom only to discover you're on mute? I've done that a lot. I suppose this cultural cleansing of the vocabulary is part of the new normal in this post-pandemic age. But no worries. Lake Superior's been banishing words since 1976. This year, more than 1,200 words were submitted. 10 words all banished from the English lexicon, but given safe harbor in this commentary. Wait, what?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I was writing stuff down.
10 words.
Let me see if I got
phrases.
Any of them.
Okay, here we go. Go for it.
Oh, you want me to try to tell you?
Yeah, which ones? Okay. What are the words?
So, new normal?
Okay, that's it. One, yep.
Cleansing?
No.
Oh, like cultural cleansing? That's what I was wondering. Mm-mm. Okay. Mm-mm. Zoom?
No.
Safe harbor?
No.
Oh man,
Grace,
I suck at this.
You're terrible at this.
Circle back.
Circle back's there.
Supply chain. Did I already say that one?
Yeah, supply chain. Okay.
Okay, the asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend.
Okay.
You're not too bad.
Did I already say commonplace? Is that on there?
You did not. You want to say it?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Way to get my hopes up. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. That's what I wrote down.
Okay. So.
So how many did I get?
You got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow. That's not very many.
You know what we're going to do? If somebody can guess there are 10 words that I mentioned. If somebody can guess what words are on the banished list, we're going to hook them up with a book.
I think that's a great idea.
That's a great trivia question, too.
Yeah, because that stumped me.
All right. I can't read it again because it's a 60-second commentary. We've only got 30 seconds here. But if you can pick out just one of the overused phrases in our list, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I'm excited. This is a great trivia question. All right, we'll get to your calls coming up. Also, our good friend Mike Huckabee is going to drop by. And all you folks on the Nevada Talk Network, you're going to want to stick around. We're going to be talking to a guy who wants to be the next Republican U.S. Senator from Nevada. You're going to want to hear that conversation as well. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Kinds of masks that you just get in a store don't keep the virus out. Probably the one thing they do the most is they prevent you from touching your nose and your face, which is even more important than trying to keep out virus with a mask that actually lets virus through.
Are cotton and surgical masks effective at preventing the spread of Omicron?
Yeah. When the CDC says they are effective, in fact, they are.
Okay, well, I'm glad we cleared that up. That's the patron saint of Wuhan, Dr. Anthony Fauci, saying within two sound bites, yes, the masks work, and no, they don't work. So there you go. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. You can visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com, and check out all of their great products. Hey, real quick, before we go to Governor Huckabee, we have a trivia question out on the table talking about the banished words list from Lake Superior State University. So let's go right to the phones. Ralph in Arkansas, what was one of those, what was one of the banned words, Ralph?
It's Rob and it's woke.
Oh, Rob, no, I'm sorry. That is not on the list. Let's go to John in Texas. All right, John, what's one of the phrases on the list?
Follow the science.
Oh, geez, hello, this is tough. Yeah, no, that's not right. Let's go to Judy in Arkansas. Judy, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What is the what is one of the phrases, that's been banished by Lake Superior State University?
At the end of the day.
And Judy, at the end of the day, you are the winner.
This is too much fun.
Well, you know what? We got to have a little bit of fun, Judy. You know what
we're gonna do?
I'm gonna send you a signed copy of my book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Governor Mike Huckabee, who's about to come up, says that book is a buttermilk biscuit for the soul. So, you know, I think you're gonna like it.
Oh, I will. I've read the reviews. I love it.
Wonderful. All right, Judy, hang tight. Grace is going to get your info there. And what better way to introduce the man of the hour on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Gov, how's it going?
You know, it's going better. You just had someone from Arkansas get the winner to your contest and is going to get a great book of yours. So what could go better to start the new year?
Well, exactly. And did you guys get any snow across the river?
We had a little bit of sleet, a few snow flurries in Little Rock, where I am, but it was not severe. It's just been stinking cold.
Oh, my gosh.
That's real cold.
I told somebody when there's frost on the pork butt, you know it's cold in Memphis.
You know, this is weather for people in Wisconsin, not for people in the South. We don't handle cold real well. We can deal with certain things, but cold ain't one of them. I think somebody said it best when they said, hey, you folks up north that sent your weather down here, come and get it and take it home.
I'm with you. I've got a bunch of copies of Al Gore's book, An Inconvenient Truth. I use that as fire starter for the fireplace. You got to make do with what you can.
Well, that's a good one to probably use. I don't know, however, if he would approve of the elements of his book flying off into the environment, but I'm sure it's a better fire starter than most things.
You know,
but it's great to be with you.
Governor, we've got a lot going on this year. Of course, midterm elections, so a lot of emphasis on politics. How are in this early stage here, how do you think the Republicans are looking to retake maybe the House or the Senate or both?
If they don't screw it up, they'll take both the House and the Senate this year. They'll pick up a few more governor seats. They will have huge gains at the local level, state legislature, school board, county commission, and city council. So we are in for a banner year. The only thing that could really mess things up for the Republicans would be that the Republicans would not know how to manage a victory. That would be a problem.
Yeah, that is. And again, looking at what's happening in the state of Georgia just over the weekend, you had the lieutenant governor, who is a Republican, coming on and bashing President Trump and really saying some pretty nasty things about Trump. That kind of infighting, and in the same breath, he was complaining about the infighting within the Republicans there in Georgia. You know, we can't afford that. There's just too much happening in this country. We've got to set aside the pettiness and focus on the big picture here.
Well, we do, and the Democrats are doing their own infighting right now. They're mad at Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. They're mad at each other. You know, they're not left enough for the AOCs and other members of the squad who want them to go full socialist. And Bernie's really running the party philosophically now, he and Elizabeth Warren. That shows you just how rudderless they are. But the sad thing is, if Republicans continue to listen to the likes of Liz Cheney, I don't think they do a whole lot. But there needs to be a real clear understanding that it's okay to disagree with Donald Trump's personality, but embrace his policies, for heaven's sakes. They were exactly what the country needed, and the results were just stellar. So I wish people would realize that there's no benefit in making Donald Trump the object of division within the Republican Party, because quite frankly, most Republicans still support him, would support him again if he ran. And the fact is that even those who don't like his personality and didn't appreciate his tweets would at least accept the fact that what he got done in a short four-year period was simply staggeringly good.
Oh, it really was. And again, I think the president, you know, and President Trump, he needs to stay disciplined and focused on messaging, if that's possible, moving into the midterms and then beyond. But right now, we've got to focus on the midterms. AOC and the progressives are unhinged. Over the weekend, I thought it was especially disgusting for them to go after, and even some in the mainstream media going after Ron DeSantis. Turns out he was off the grid, but for a very good reason. His wife has been dealing with a horrible medical issue, and he was spending time with her in the hospital, and yet they're putting out these ads and posters and whatnot, accusing him of being off the grid.
Well, I really hope that the Republicans of Florida and around the rest of the country will take those ads and put their own ad together and to say, this is what happens when you have people who shoot guns before they even know what they're firing at. And a lot of innocent people get hurt when that happens. And in this case, you had a governor who's also a husband and a father. He was with his wife, who is undergoing cancer treatment, as anyone would expect him to be and appreciate him being. But the Democrats, without checking into the facts, without calling the Washington Post so-called fact checker, just decided that he was just sloughing off somewhere, and they attacked him. And it turns out that they attacked him because he was doing exactly what he should have been doing, which was staying close and near to his wife while she was undergoing treatment.
And in all honesty, it's just mind blowing, because it shows you the level of hatred in politics. And Governor, to your credit, whenever somebody is going through a difficult time, Republican or Democrat, they've died, they've lost, you know, gone through surgery or whatever, you're always there on your social media pages saying, hey, we need to pray for this individual. We need to think about this person. I mean, that's human decency. And unfortunately, that is missing right now in the political world.
Todd, I grew up in small town southern Arkansas, and when we saw a funeral procession coming our way, it wasn't that we knew who was in the back of the hearse, but it was just a courtesy. People pull off to the side of the road as the oncoming traffic with the funeral procession comes, and you wait until the last car with headlights comes through, and then you get back up on your journey. Nobody is in such a big hurry that they can't pause and pay respect for someone, even someone they didn't know. It's just a common courtesy. It's how most of us were raised. I kind of like it that way, and I don't want us to lose that. I don't want us to become where we are so callous, so uncaring, so selfish that we can't pause for a moment. And even if it's a political opponent, stop and say, let's hit the pause button on all the politics, because my opponent over there has a family member who's going through a serious, serious issue, and we can all agree that we just pray for a good outcome.
That's a great point. By the way, on that note, we lost a couple of greats over the holidays. Betty White, who was about to celebrate her 100th birthday, and then John Madden, just two great legends in their fields.
Well, Betty White was sort of like everybody's grandmother or maybe their mother's best friend kind of individual that, you know, how do you not love Betty White? She had a great sense of humor. I think one of the things that I appreciated most about her was that she had the most wonderful love of her life, her husband, Alan Ludden, who died back in 1981. And, you know, for years, people said, Betty, are you going to remarry? And here was her response to that. She says, I've had the best. Why would I ever want the rest? she truly loved her husband. They had a remarkable relationship for the time that they were together before he passed away of cancer. Not that it would have been wrong for Betty White to have married someone else, but just the fact that in her own heart, she loved her husband with all she had, and she wanted to remember him and only him as the love of her life. And it was just something special about that in her. And then John Madden, one of the greatest commentators ever in the game of football. Even if the game was boring, John Madden never was. And he understood the game, he could interpret it, and he could do it in such an entertaining and fun way. And you got the distinct impression that John Madden took the game seriously, but he never took himself that seriously. And I think it's one of the reasons that all of America was endeared to him.
You know what? I was watching a documentary over the weekend they put together, just incredible, about his life. And, you know, he didn't like to fly in airplanes. And so he always rode a bus or took the train wherever he went. But he said one of the neat things is that he would just, you know, he would get off at a rest stop. He would get off like at a Shoney's, and he would just hang out with the regular folks. And he said that was a big part of who he was. You know, he was just a regular guy.
I think it's part of what gave John Madden the capacity to speak to people, because he didn't live in a bubble. He lived out there in the hinterland of America. And you're right. You know, he was widely known as a guy who hated flying and wouldn't do it. And he would take an RV, he would take a train. But what it meant was that it caused him to rub shoulders with people in flyover country. You and I think, both believe that the greatest really heart of America is to be found in flyover country, where people aren't pretentious. They're not all that hepped up on who has the most money or the nicest clothes. It's about who's the nicest person. And John got to rub shoulders with a lot of those great people across the country. And I do think it made him a better sportscaster and a much better communication.
Oh, and you know, he actually, we've got to end this on food, Gov. You know how that goes. he made turducken a national staple. And they interviewed the owner of this. There was a company down in Louisiana that made the first turducken. And that became, you know, that became legacy for those guys. The owner said they were only selling a couple of hundred a year. But after Madden went on TV and talked about turducken, they were selling 6,000 to 7,000 turduckens.
Wow. That is a lot of turduckens, to be sure. And they are pretty fantastic. I've been eating them for years myself. I don't know if it was because of John Madden or because I had a good friend who always gave me one for Christmas.
I love it. I love it. All right, Governor, we're going to leave it there. What's coming up on Huckabee this weekend?
Well, we're going to have a great show. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be with us. She just got dismissed permanently from Twitter. But we're going to have her because I want to find out what she's thinking and why it is that people hate her so much. I can't wait to talk to her. We've got Rich Little, the great comedian. The Christian band, the Newsboys, are going to be with us.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be a stellar show. I know that folks will enjoy it.
All right, folks, we have links to the Huckabee Show over on our live show blog. Be sure to check that out. Governor, hope you have a happy new year.
You too, Todd. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
All right. Good man right there, Governor Mike Huckabee, across the Mississippi River in the great state of Arkansas. And, you know, a lot of people remember Betty White from the Golden Girls. I remember her as a kid growing up on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where she played the complete opposite character of Sue Ann, which was probably one of the best roles of all time, aside from the Golden Girls, which Grandma Starnes used to love that program like nobody's business. And I thought, what better way to go to break than a little bit of Golden Girls?
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the car
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us as we kick off the new year. Hope you're having fun. And that's the whole point of what we're doing here, folks. There's a whole lot of craziness and chaos out there in the world, and we got to be able to sit back and have a little bit of fun. Grace, have you ever had one of these turduckens?
Can't say I have.
What? Grace.
What? What?
You have not lived life. We have got to do, we've got to fix this. So a turducken, and I know someone will correct me if I'm wrong here, okay. But I think it's the duck stuffed into a, no, it's the chicken stuffed into a duck stuffed into a turkey.
That's a lot of
and
meat.
And then you got, you have the cornbread dressing around that.
My gosh. Well, let me tell you, if you bring one in, I will do a live tasting on air.
Really?
I will do it.
Well, we've got to find somebody here in the, is that something? I wonder if Kyle the engineer, would he know how, does he know how to make a turducken? He's shaking his head and looking very confused right now.
See, I don't think he's had a turducken either. You're going to need to get someone with some experience in that department.
Fair enough. So I'm sure someone in the audience.
I'm sure it's not an easy task to make a turducken.
No, not at all.
You're stuffing birds inside birds. That sounds tough. That's,
but let me tell you what I did over the weekend. You're going to love this.
Okay.
I made hot chicken. You know that Nashville.
You cooked. Good job.
I made hot chicken.
How was it?
Well, it was, first of all, just try. I kept getting lost in that stupid soup. You know, Kroger, they like to rearrange the aisles.
It's so annoying.
It angers me. So this manager comes up. I'm clearly lost. I was looking for something.
Help me.
And he goes, sir, can I help you? Isn't this a great day? I said, would it be a great day if you had not have rearranged the supermarket?
Oh.
Why did you guys do this? And he was like, well, just have a good day. Oh. Have a good day, sir.
He was no help.
It makes no sense at all. I don't know
why they switch it around. I think they just like to mess with customers.
So I made the hot chicken. And it's Hattie B's recipe. I got this off the Food Network.
Dang.
And man, was it good.
Oh, I bet.
It was. And
why didn't you bring some to share?
Because it was very good.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's all gone.
So it's all
gone. I see how it is.
But I've got the recipe. But it's 3 tablespoons of cayenne pepper. That'll kind of show you where the recipe goes.
I was going to say, I think that that'll clear up your sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But could you imagine a hot turducken? Just dip the whole thing. It's just butter, brown sugar, and cayenne pepper. You know, that's pretty good. Hey, got to take a break here. Folks in Nevada, get ready. We're coming up with a fun guest. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you back with us. Man, I feel like I'm down on Beale Street this afternoon. A lot going on in the world of politics this week. And, of course, gearing up for the midterm elections. And it's important for us to elect the right kind of Republican. I mean, that is a big, big problem we've had with the Republicans, is that we've been electing Republicans in name only. Now, we're on about 7 or 8 radio stations across the great state of Nevada, and we're paying very close attention to the Senate race there. And we are honored to have a guy who is one of those kinds of Republicans, the right kind. He is an Army captain in Afghanistan. He is a war veteran, combat veteran. He is passionate about taking on big tech, and he's got a big problem with the wokeness in the U.S. military. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Sam Brown. Sam, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on here to open up the new year.
Well, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot at stake in Congress. And if the Republicans play their cards right, as Governor Mike Huckabee said in the last segment, we're going to have a Republican-controlled House and Senate. So my question is very simple to you, sir. Why do you want to be the next United States Senator from Nevada?
I want to do this because it's time for the American people and for Nevadans to be represented by someone who actually shares our interests, our concerns, to be a champion for the people, not necessarily a champion for
party leadership or, you know, special interests or, you know, those things that drive that swamp over there in D.C. That neglects the very real and serious issues that Americans are facing and struggling with.
Sam, you have a decorated career as an Army captain. I want you to briefly tell our listeners your story.
Yeah, so, you know, my career started in some ways immediately after 9/11. In October of 2001, I was accepted to West Point. July 1st of 02, I started my education and my leadership training at the United States Military Academy, and 4 years later, you know, graduated. When I started, we were at war in Afghanistan. When I graduated, we were at war there and in Iraq. And in 2008, after, you know, going through all my infantry training, being, you know, Ranger and airborne qualified, and helping stand up a brigade at Fort Hood, we deployed to Kandahar, Afghanistan. And, you know, there's, I think, one of the important things that I wish we could see a little bit more of out of our representatives in D.C. is people who are willing to go back and reflect on, you know, things that have worked and things that didn't. And instead of staying married to the same policy just for the sake of not ever admitting that, you know, maybe we got things wrong. And our nation building policies in Afghanistan, I think we got wrong. And we were involved in that type of activity when another platoon was ambushed and my platoon was responding to go provide support. And unfortunately, we drove over a roadside bomb that killed one of my soldiers and left four of us wounded. And that sort of was a major shift in my personal life and in my professional life. And
you nearly lost your life as well on that day.
I did. I reached the point of, as I was burning there in the desert, and you know, anyone who's seen pictures or me on video know that I was left with extensive disfiguring scars. But I gave up the will to live. I was waiting on death and wondering, you know, what the next step in existence was like. And that's when, you know, somewhat miraculously, my soldiers got to me. And the thing that gave me, that took me from that place of having lost hope to regaining it was the words of one of my soldiers. And he said, "Sir, I've got you." And I could feel him smothering the flames off of my body. And I've carried that as a life lesson. And one of the things that I hope to do for Nevadans and for Americans is to understand the power of somebody saying, not only I've got you, but they're willing to put themselves at risk and in harm's way to help you. And that's what my soldiers did for me. And, you know, I did survive, obviously. It was a long 3-year recovery, many, many surgeries, thousands of hours of therapy. But I'm left with scars from that, but that doesn't mean my life is over. And in some ways, I'm stronger for it. And I think that's where our country is at. We will be scarred by the times we're going through and by the poor decisions of people who've led us. There's no escaping that. There's no magic, you know, pill that takes things back, removes the scars completely. But we can work through it, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be painful. But with right leadership, we can get through this, and we'll be stronger for it.
And I think this is, it's a compelling part of your story. You talked about having no hope but finding hope, and you talk about during this 3-year journey and this season of life you were going through, and you credit your faith in God for getting you through that difficult time.
That's right. That's been, that experience was my coming to Jesus moment for me personally.
Literally.
And I'll tell you, this is really giving listeners kind of an inside peek into what makes me. But there was a verse in Romans, which was written by the Apostle Paul, and it really meant a lot to me in that time, and it continues to mean a lot to me to this day. And it's Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3. It starts, and it says, "Rejoice in your suffering, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character gives us hope." And, it's sort of a backwards way of looking at things, to rejoice in our suffering. Mm. You know, as Americans, we all too often just
you know, throw fits or, you know, give up or, you know, have some sort of negative response to that. But we're missing the beauty and the opportunity of, you know, seeing the hope that can come through building that endurance and having our character refined.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we are honored to have with us Sam Brown. He wants to be the next United States Senator from the state of Nevada. Sam, you are very concerned about the wokeness within the military. How concerned are you at this stage about military readiness?
Very, very concerned. In fact, I was talking to a friend earlier today. You know, we have reports of, you know, entire Navy ships essentially having to come, you know, out of off of a tour, you know, at least temporarily due to, you know, COVID spikes. And we've got, you know, all sorts of additional trainings on, you know, critical race theories and, you know, other types of domestic, you know, terrorism and all this sort of stuff. These things, you know, all combined are really shifting a focus away from preparing warfighters to do what is really unthinkable. And you know, Lord willing, like, you know, our servicemen and women don't ever have to really get back into a highly engaged conflict where we're fighting with an enemy that's shooting at people and blowing stuff up. But we've got a military now that it's my perception, I think most Americans believe, is more concerned about political posturing and saying and doing the thing that, you know, their version of society would want them to say and do. And it takes away from that war fighter's mentality. And, you know, what good does it do us if our enemies know that all they need to do is wait for, you know, us to get into some sort of new political social cycle where we're sidelining our military for whatever issue, you know, to attack, and we're just not ready.
Well, it greatly concerns me because it's all being played out in front of the cameras where you've got, you know, the CIA, you've got our military. They're more concerned about these, you know, getting people's pronouns right than they are about going out there and killing the bad guy and defending our country. That's a major concern because our enemies see that and they will take advantage of that.
Absolutely. You know, warfare has not changed that much over millenniums. And at the end of the day, we need warfighters who are prepared to shoulder an incredible, vicious burden of doing something to protect themselves and the men and women next to them, and ultimately to protect, you know, our homeland. And wokeness, I don't think, does us any benefit in being ready for that.
Sam, where can people go if they want to get information about your campaign, get involved? Where can they go?
Yeah, CaptainSamBrown.com is our website. On social media, where we have so many threats to being able to actually voice your true thoughts and opinions, all my handles are at CaptainSamBrown. And look, I just want to brag on the team that has come around me here. We've got the first U.S. Senate campaign in the state that is knocking doors statewide and making calls, and many, many volunteers coming into our offices. This is a grassroots campaign. We're funded by the grassroots. In fact, the Reno Gazette Journal has said that we're the only Senate campaign powered by the grassroots. I'm really
Love
proud
it.
Of the team we've got.
All right, Sam, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll get you back on the program. Good luck to you out on the campaign trail, and God bless you. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice to our great country.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, there you have it, folks. Sam Brown, you folks in Nevada have an opportunity to elect a war hero, a man who put it all on the line for his country and has suffered greatly, but he has persevered because of his faith in Christ. He has a great platform. He's very concerned about what the military is going through right now with this wokeness and critical race theory. And he's also very concerned about big tech and vows to take on big tech. And we need Republicans like that running for office. So we've got links to all of the Captain's pages over on our live show blog, and I would encourage you to check that out. All right, we're going to take a break here. Open up the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, this just in. Marjorie Taylor Greene has now been banned from Facebook. Yesterday, she was banned from Twitter. I cannot stress this enough. And folks, we give our newsletter to you as a free service. So we've never charged for it in the 15 years we've been putting out that newsletter, never charged for the newsletter, and we won't. We have sponsors that pick up the tab for that, and we're always honored by that. But I want to encourage you, go right now and tell your friends, you got to get Todd's newsletter. It comes out every day, and we provide you news and information that will be censored on social media. And there will come a time when many of us who are conservative will be in a very similar situation, and you don't want to be left out of the loop. And it's easy to get out of the loop if you're not on social media. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So if you go right now to ToddStarnes.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will take care of that censorship problem. Lickety split. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Steve in Oklahoma wants to weigh in on the turducken. All right, Steve, let's talk turkey.
Come on, Savant, Todd. Hey, yeah, I was born and raised in Louisiana and raised on that turducken. If you want to get a good turducken, call any meat packing place there in Lafayette or Alexandria, and they'll mail one to you.
Now, so is that a Louisiana thing? Is that where it started?
Yes, sir. That's a Cajun dish.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And it's good Cajun seasoning in it, and you really enjoy it. But they're a little pricey. They run anywhere from $110 to $150 for a good turducken.
Is that right? Well, that's good to know. I know, just because I've been down there a lot, there's not a bad restaurant in Lafayette, Louisiana. Good cooking down there.
Oh, no, sir. Oh, it's awesome. Lafayette's got some of the better foods in it in Louisiana than I think New Orleans does.
You know what? I'm with you on that. I'm talking po' boys, gumbo, and the best boudin I've ever had is what was from Lafayette, Louisiana. So we've got a lot of listeners on KPEL and KROF in Lafayette, so they know what I'm talking about. But you can't beat that boudin.
No, that boudin, they got a boudin shop right outside of Lafayette going into Alexandria off the, I think it's Highway 49 there. It's a boudin shop, and I bet there's 150 different types of boudin in there.
Is that right? I didn't realize that. All right. Well,
yeah.
Now, what about po' boys? So where's the best place to get a po' boy down there?
In Lafayette, you go past downtown, and it's called Chris's Po' Boys. Best po' boys you'll ever put in your mouth.
Oh, Chris's Po' Boys. All right, I'm writing this down because we're going to be down there later on this year, and I will definitely make a pit stop over there.
Yeah, and you eat a good seafood platter. That's right there coming out of Lafayette going back toward Shreveport on 49. I think it's called Prejean's. It's got a great big alligator, stuffed alligator on the front of the building.
So, you know what, Steve? I've actually eaten, and I got that seafood platter at Prejean's. You're right. That's an amazing food over there.
Yes, it is awesome. I mean, it is seasoned just right.
You see, this is what, you know, whenever we go out on our book tour, Steve, you know, a lot of people are, oh, let's take Starnes to the Ruth's Chris, you know, or the No. I want to go where the locals go. You take me there, I'm going to be a happy camper.
Yeah, it that's some good eating right there. And there's, what is that, Bro Bridge? It's right there going out of Lafayette back to Baton Rouge on 10. You'll see a little town called Bro Bridge. That's an old restaurant that's still there for years. Try eating in there. It is good. I mean, it's got good shrimp Creole, everything in it.
Steve, you're going to be our honorary official correspondent for the Cajun world. This is amazing.
I was born and raised all right there.
Then you were raised right. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Yep. Oh, we were raised on some good groceries, and we know every one of the guys, any guy that's in a Cajun family, they know how to cook. I'm going to tell you straight up.
You know, you're not kidding about that. And I had some good. My dad got transferred right outside of New Orleans, St. John Parish, when I was in junior high school. And so we moved on down there. And of course, coming from Tennessee, I thought I was in a different country. But man almighty, did I learn to eat some good food down there.
Yeah, my grandmother, she spoke nothing but French, her and my granddad. And I was pretty much raised with them. And I sat there in that kitchen a lot of times watching my grandmother cook, and that's where I learned how to cook, was from my grandmother on the original recipes. And if you want to get good Cajun recipes, buy that River Roads cookbook. There's a black and white edition and a red and white edition. Get the black and white, and it's got the original Cajun recipes.
I'm writing all this down, Steve. I mean, you are a wealth of information here. Chris's Po' Boys, Prejean's, and River Road cookbook. We're going to check into that.
Sir.
Hey, we got a skedaddle here, Steve, but I want you to give us a call back one of these days. We got to talk Cajun food.
Okay, no problem. Y'all have a good one.
All right, God bless now. Steve from Oklahoma. Grace, were you taking notes? I mean, this is important stuff. All right, good stuff.
I feel more educated.
You haven't had any boudin?
No.
Look, here's the issue with boudin. If you're going out on a date and you're eating boudin, you better make sure that the person you're going out with, the girlfriend, is eating boudin too, or you're not getting a kiss.
Oof.
You're not getting a good night kiss.
One of those.
Best thing I ever had, and you folks in Lafayette know about this, boudin pecan pie. Unbelievable. It's a sausage.
Okay.
Garlic sausage.
Okay.
It's very good. Hey, want to give a quick shout out to the 65,000 college kids currently in Atlanta, Passion 2022. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but you be thinking about those kids. They're doing some great work down there in Atlanta. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.